see your papers?
I don't think I have them on me.
In that case, we'll have to ask you to come along.
If you are unvaccinated, you really should be wearing a mask indoors for sure, and even under certain circumstances, outdoors, but definitely indoors. Unvaccinated people are vulnerable.
And in addition, the risk, the danger that they're spreading it to others.
That's the reason why we're seeing, unfortunately, an uptick in cases.
This is the Trevor Carey Show. On the Valley's Power Talk.
Are there guidelines that work now across the country, or should people continue just to listen to their local authority?
Well, the local authorities very often get it correctly. If you look at the overall recommendations, Judy, from the CDC, they say overall, if you are vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask outdoors or indoors. But there's a big however with that. And the however is, you should also pay attention to what's going on in the area where you are living.
If I hear one more however, Fauci's however. However means there's something coming negative for you and I. Little update here. Hollywood workers may have to vaccinate to work on union film sets under new COVID safety requirements. Prediction of stating that, yes, indeed, that it's coming. It's completely coming, and I'm just going to ask Agent Squires if he doesn't mind coming here and turning this fan off for me. Do you? I thought I had it set up where you guys hear that sound. I'm going to be quiet for a minute. Listen to that. Yeah, you hear that. I hear it in my headphones. See, Squires, I'm going through menopause, so I got to have that constant breeze. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Producers will have the option to mandate vaccinations for their cast and crews working in close proximity to actors. Because as we know, we've got a two-tier society going on, don't we? And if you think this is freedom, then you have forgotten what freedom was once like.
People aren't regulated.
Oh, remember June 15th, Liberation Day in California back in April when they announced it? I doubted it. I predicted a two-tier society. Many of you did. I mean, it's so obvious. We look at this. We see it. Maybe you feel liberated. Maybe with the vaccine, you feel liberated and you're going, listen, you are so stuck in the past. So yes, of course, you're not going to feel part of society because you have not protected the rest of us. Well, go ahead and feel liberated. I don't. And if you think it's freedom, then you're not remembering what it used to be like to go out and eat or go shopping or come to work. This was rather headline. I couldn't believe it wasn't everywhere-ish. And when I saw it, I thought, that can't be true. I saw a headline. It said, mRNA vaccine inventor, I risk being assassinated for speaking out against experimental COVID shots. Now, on this show and in society now, we're talking about the purging of information from social media, right? You take the purging of information from social media and you take the long jump to somebody being assassinated for it. And I was like, that can't be real. And I said, who is this? It's Dr. Robert Malone. I've heard his name, researcher. But yet, Dr. Robert Malone put out on Twitter, Dr. Robert Malone has been on Tucker Carlson talking about this. So it had legs to this story. Dr. Robert Malone made a, shall we say, an alarming admission, right, on Twitter. Said, I'm just going to read his tweet. He said, so, comma, I hope that this is hyperbole and an overreaction, but last night an experienced journalist told me I need to get security because I would risk of being assassinated. I do not know how to even begin to think about this. I'm just a middle-class person. Security? ! ! ! Now, this guy was in the headlines because, as I said, he was on Tucker. And, one of the vaccine inventors. And he's warning about forced vaccination by governments. He's talking about the adverse reactions and that it is experimental and that it's gene therapy, the mRNA is, and it's been documented. And he said, one of my concerns is the government's not being transparent with us about what those risks are. This is Dr. Robert Malone saying this. He said, so I'm of the opinion that people have the right to decide whether to accept vaccines or not. especially since these are experimental, he told Tucker Carlson. And now he sends that tweet out on Sunday. I guess you would send that tweet out so whoever was maybe I'm just going off what this doctor said. So he said some, what was it, reporter, how did he phrase that? An experienced journalist told him that he might need to get security. He was at risk of being assassinated. Now, is he putting that out there just in case he thought maybe it would happen? I don't know. This is crazy, isn't it? We got different rules, but we also got some people making a whole lot of money off this, right? When things don't seem right in a PTA organization or at your company or in some charity, you're like, well, let's follow the money trail, right? Something about this on, we're getting close to, I'm waiting for the announcement of day 500. We'll let you know. We're getting real close to that. But we can follow the money trail, right? We talk about control and all of that, but we also know there's a lot of companies out there that aren't in politics, that don't have that control. Like Pfizer, they made $26 billion so far on this vaccine. And Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, they've made billions. And of course, you're going to keep pushing for booster shots, right? For mandatory vaccines for all kids, even newborn babies. Now, we know President Eisenhower on the way out warned us about the military-industrial complex. He said, we built this armament up over World War II, so now they're going to, he said, a good citizen, and I paraphrase this, a good citizenry needs to pay attention to the military-industrial complex because, he said, basically they'll create war so they then keep making money, right? So we know this mindset exists. Pfizer making $26 billion right now. And let me remind you that when vaccines, now this was called Operation Warp Speed. So you would think it needed to happen quick, right? The FDA says it normally takes about 5 to 7 years to have a vaccine approved. So I think I have every right in the world to say, I'm not going to raise my hand and say I'm going to be a lab rat for an experimental drug. Now, if you've taken the vaccine, I'm not calling you a rat. It is your right as an American. You volunteered. Your own health, right? That's up to you. I'm going to stay out of your medical life. And I would like to have the same respect back because there's been many thousands of reactions and side effects, including now close to 7,000 deaths from these vaccines. So if you want a vax, do so. But you got to be aware there's no research. And when you want to talk about your children, really, I mean, look into this, please. Even if right now you're going that you disagree with me and you're going, the moment my 10-year-old can get the vaccine, they're getting it. Look into it, please. Please look into it. Look at the heart damage for kids. And I don't think you need to let Fauci or the CDC or any Democrat convince you your child needs to have this. I mean, the COVID survival rate, 99 point fill in the blank. And for kids, it's 99.97. 99.97 out of 100%. This is, if they're going to start vaccinating kids, this is one of the biggest hoaxes ever. I mean, we're already coming off one of the biggest hoaxes ever. A mask of being, effective against a respiratory infection. Anybody that's in the medical world knows this. First year, Dr. Ron Paul, when he was on the show, he said first year medical school when I got out, he would have known this. We know. We now know. We know that the openings in the mask are like 5,000 times larger than the virus. Now, as Fauci convinced all of America, in case somebody was, standing 2 feet above you and you had your mouth open and they sneezed down, I guess a mask would stop droplets, spittle from going. But we've had studies on this. UK Government Freedom Day, that was yesterday. It was anything but. But they had maybe this guy needs to watch out for his life. A government scientific advisor admitted that face masks do very little to protect, and they're comfort blankets. That's what he called it, comfort blankets. They have gaps in them, 5,000 times bigger than the particles in COVID. A COVID particle. I did the research. It's 100 nanometers. The gaps in these blue crap masks they make us put on, they're 1,000 times that size. A cloth mask gap can be 5,000 times the size. Have you seen the how they show the mask on? And then they do the vape, the aerosol escape thing, and it truly shows. I mean, even those particles are larger than some of the spittle, and we, you know, so I guess it was a comfort blanket. That's a good analogy there from the UK government scientific advisor. And but now that it's inside everybody, right, there's a lot of people, they don't want to give it up. You look around, and, you know, when we do look around and we look at the mask mandates and we look at infection rates, you can see mask mandates didn't make any difference at all. There are states that didn't do it. Or if they did, they didn't do it for long. The science is there. This is what happens when one party rules a state. Somebody wants to change it. Larry Elder does. He's going to be coming up at the bottom of the hour. But, man, this is a national, worldwide movement. I mean, when it comes to face masks, I can't even believe we're having this conversation. In February of 2020, right when the man-made lockdown started to get a little of the ball rolling, Fauci said, no, those face masks that you buy at the store, they're not effective in keeping out the virus. It's small enough to pass through material. That should have been the end of that. But aha, control. You know, Japan defeated COVID with masks, didn't they? That was the number one example. They would always show us. Now Japan's been above 80% for 16 months right now. Senator Rand Paul, ding, ding, versus Fauci.
Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function.
All right, Mr. Snappy.
You increase its transmissibility to humans. Right. You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about.
He doesn't know. Dr. Senator Rand Paul does not know what he's talking about. Listen, I'm going to listen to Joe Biden. I'm going to listen to
Kamala Harris.
You know why? Because listen to him.
So let's just say there's a vaccine that is approved and even distributed before the election. Would you get it?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us.
If the president announced tomorrow we have a vaccine, would you take it? Only if it was completely transparent that other experts in the country could look at it. Only if we knew all of what went into it.
But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
You know, this man-made lockdown, the overdose crisis is off the charts. What do we do to help people addicted that could overdose? I got an idea. Let's give them free heroin that's not laced with fentanyl. Brilliant! Isn't that a good idea? Give them free heroin that's not laced with fentanyl. That way we'll know they're not going to overdose. That is for real, and it's really happening, and I'll tell you about it. Larry Elder, bottom of the hour.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
You increase its transmissibility to humans.
Right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about.
Oh, he didn't know what he's talking about. Well, I'll tell you what they're talking about up in Canada is the best way to keep people from overdosing. We're now at like 93,000. We thought it was a big deal in 2016, which it was. We were at like 56-something thousand overdosed. Now, 5 years later, about 93,000. We'll talk more about that later in the week here. But what they're going to be doing up in Canada now to get them from overdosing is not get them the help, get them healthy, get them the counseling, get them everything they need to not inject themselves with poison, but it's to now give them free drugs. Well, San Francisco did it, so hey, why wouldn't they do it up in Canada? British Columbia, first province in Canada, a new public health measure, and by health measure, giving away free drugs. Heroin. I saw the picture. Packaged up, safe heroin. prescribed safe supply. That's what they're... So, see, when we you said they'll start putting up needle exchanges, you know, that was a big deal decades ago or whatever, right? Healthy needle exchanges, right? What do you mean, healthy needle exchanges? Now, here we are now giving them the drug to put in the needle or any kind of prescribed opioid, any stimulant. They said they're actually going to put up consumption sites. Wouldn't you love to have one of those in your neighborhood? Hey, Mom, I'm going to run down to the store. No, you're not. Vancouver City Councilor, they call him like a city council person, joined a couple of drug user advocacy groups, the Drug User Liberation Front and the Vancouver Area Network of Drug Users. Isn't that something that today or groups like that, well, that they exist, but they actually can get the attention of a government? And the government obviously will go, sure, let's have a meeting, sit down. Hi, government, we want you to hand out free drugs right outside a police station. I don't know, other people in the government, what do you think? Yeah, we like that idea. Good idea. And we'll tell people what, it'll keep people from overdosing, right? Because why again? Oh, it won't have, the heroin won't have fentanyl in it. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Here's what the city put out. 6 deaths a day from poisonous drugs is way too many. 1 is too many. Safe supply now. I mean, doesn't that just sound beyond anything you have ever heard? But we should expect it. Should have expected it, right? Sure. Here's a little update. We have data coming out of data. That means science. Coming out of Israel. And I have Britain's chief scientific advisor saying 40% of people who have been hospitalized with COVID are fully vaccinated. Sir Patrick Vallance, news briefing, Britain Sky News reporting, was not surprising. He said the vaccines are not 100% effective. But to find that 40% of the people that have been hospitalized were fully vaccinated? Israel's health minister found that about 40% of the new cases of COVID were detected since May were unvaccinated patients. So it's happening in Israel. It's also happening in the UK. Among 7,700 new cases of the virus detected, this is in Israel, 72 people who previously had COVID became infected again. In contrast, among the 7,700, more than 3,000 who were fully vaccinated became infected again. At about 40%. So we're seeing right now contradicting the claims about Fauci, right? I mean, it's proving data, science proving natural infection gives you a higher level of immunity, but they're not even putting the ones that have previously had the virus and survived COVID, even if you were asymptomatic. They at the office of they, meaning other scientists, are going against what Fauci is saying, and actually other scientists are coming to the forefront with data. We call that science.
If you are unvaccinated, you really should be wearing a mask indoors for sure, and even under certain circumstances outdoors, but definitely indoors. Unvaccinated people are vulnerable.
And in addition, the risk, the danger that they're spreading it to others?
That's the reason why we're seeing, unfortunately, an uptick in cases.
He is a national talk show host and now candidate for governor of California. We'll find out what all is going on right from the source. Larry Elder next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
You know a national talk show host. You see him all over TV. He's an author and now candidate for governor of California, Mr. Larry Elder. Mr. Elder, welcome back, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. Let's hope I'm a candidate for governor of California. You know what's happened. The ballot came out and my name wasn't on it. We submitted 300 pages of 5 years worth of tax returns. And apparently there was some little line that should have been redacted that wasn't redacted, or something that was redacted that shouldn't have been redacted. We're not quite sure. Anyway, we're in court over this. We're confident we're going to win. There should be the hearing. We'll know probably late tomorrow. And if we don't prevail, we'll take it all the way up to the California Supreme Court. But I'm confident we're going to prevail. The lawsuit is on my website, electelder.com. So anybody can read it and see. There's absolutely zero reason why this whatever defect shouldn't have been corrected. The Secretary of State has the power under the statute to correct any little error. She elected not to do so. So for a bunch of reasons, which you can read if you want to, if you won't be bored, I'm confident I'm going to be on the ballot.
Now, Gavin Newsom filled out that line correctly, right? Correct?
Apparently he did. But get this. This law was designed to force Donald Trump to turn over 5 years of tax returns in order for him to be on the ballot in the 2020 election. That was, of course, before somebody stole his tax returns and made them public. And it was litigated up to the California Supreme Court, and the left-wing Supreme Court ruled 7-0 that it was unconstitutional, both the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution, as to forcing Donald Trump to turn over his returns, but it did not apply to the gubernatorial race. Now, it's unclear whether it even applies to a recall race, A and B. Gavin Newsom, however, does not have to turn over 5 years of his tax returns. So there's also an equal protection argument that the law ought to apply to everybody. It's going to apply to anybody.
Now, already with a quick election season, you were juggling five balls in the air. You're going to be doing 10 now if you're going to have a court case and the campaign going, right? So if you're saying you're going to take this all the way up to the Supreme Court, then in the meantime, you're campaigning, right? You're a candidate for governor.
Oh yeah, and I have to. I can't lose any days. This is a sprint. The election is on September the 14th, but the mail-in ballots go out in about 30 days. So no, I got to keep hitting it.
Yeah,
but again, this will be resolved. This will be resolved probably by tomorrow. It'll be resolved in our favor, and we'll just keep on going. In fact, we're getting a lot of good pub out of it because it appears that I was targeted. Now, I'm not one of those who plays the conspiracy card and all that, but it really stinks to high heaven. In fact, somebody was not also on the initial list of names on the ballot, and all of a sudden that person got included. So something happened between Tuesday or Wednesday and today of last week that allowed somebody who was not on to suddenly get on. So whatever was corrected, but whatever was wrong with my filings was not corrected. So there's all sorts of reasons why I'm confident. I've got really good lawyers, really smart people, and I had my accountant of 40 years look over the whole thing and apply the law before we submitted it. We had one election lawyer look at it and a second election lawyer look at it, and nobody found a problem, and all of a sudden there was a problem.
Well, I'll tell you why they're feeling the heat is why. I want to ask you, you said when Dennis Prager asked you to run.
I said, hell no. I said, this place is ungovernable.
Ungovernable. No. What changed, Mr. Elder? Something changed.
Well, Gavin Newsom changed. He kept ticking me off. He kept being more and more arrogant. And I also talked with an election law expert, somebody who was in-house counsel for Governor Pete Wilson. And he said, you'd be surprised how much power you have, even when you're dealing with a hostile legislature. Of course, you have the power to veto bills so you can stop stupid bills. And I didn't realize this, Trevor, but a bill that was vetoed has never been overridden since the early 70s, the first time Governor Jerry Brown was governor. So when you veto stuff, it turns out when you go to the public and tell them how stupid the bill was, they put pressure on their local state senator or their local assembly person, and all of a sudden they don't have the cashews to override you. So you have that power. You also have the power of the line item veto. And more importantly, you have the power to declare a statewide emergency the way Gavin Newsom has regarding the pandemic. There is a statewide emergency, as far as I'm concerned, on crime, on homelessness, on the declining standards of schools. There are 300,000 public school teachers in the state of California. It is estimated that at minimum 5% of them are incompetent. That's 15,000 teachers. On any given year, out of that pool of 300,000 teachers, 2.2 are fired. Now let's translate that to the LAPD. 20,000 cops. Imagine if 5% of them were incompetent. That's 1,000 cops unleashed on the streets who are bad cops. Nobody would put up with it. Why the hell are we putting up with 15,000 incompetent teachers? So one of the things I'm going to do when I become governor is I'm going to declare an emergency, and I'm going to get rid of 15,000 teachers in one fell swoop. Now, when you say something like that, that means you're taking on the most powerful union in the state, and that's the California Teachers Association. And the Gavin Newsom and the two of them are wedded to the hip. They are the largest contributor to his campaign, and they're the ones that demanded that the schools be shut down. In L.A., the largest affiliate of the California Teachers Association is the UTLA, United Teachers of Los Angeles, and they demanded that the schools remain closed even as they got paid. And if you look at the percentage of teachers with school-age kids at LAUSD, the Los Angeles Unified School District, they are twice as likely to put their own kids in private schools. Philadelphia public school teachers, 44% of them with school-age kids, have their own kids in private school, as opposed to 10% of families nationwide and 6% of black families nationwide. That is as if you opened up a restaurant, put up a sign outside and said, come on in, just don't eat the food. 75% of California kids cannot read at state levels of proficiency. I went to a high school called Crenshaw High School. You saw the movie Boys in the Hood. Mm-hmm. That's my high school. 2% of kids are math proficient at my high school. It's also, by the way, a Crip school, meaning the gang Crips run the school. Now, what parent sends their kid to a school where only 2% are math proficient and where the school is run by gangs unless they're forced to? The teachers union wants to force you to. The Democrats want to force you to. And for whatever reason, black and brown parents, the majority of whom, according to polls, want choice in school, still march in there and pull that lever for the Democratic Party. I'm going to explain to them why they ought not be doing that and why there's a relationship between that and also the incredible cost of living. We have an anti-building attitude in this state because of the law called CEQA. And I was up in Sacramento talking to a black newspaper, and they were a little hostile towards me for whatever reason at first. And I said, you guys know what CEQA is? And they said, no. And I said, it's the California Environmental Quality Act that stops a whole bunch of housing units. I am told by a lot of contractors that there are 500,000 housing units all ready to go if the lawsuits would stop. That's why we don't have enough housing. That's why the price of housing is so high. And there's a direct relationship between that and the left-wing people that you keep pulling the lever for. And all of a sudden, their body language changed, their attitude changed. I'm not saying that they're going to become Reagan Republicans, but I think they're willing to go in there and pull that lever for Larry Elder. And by the way, you can do that. Privacy of the ballot box, of your mailing ballot, and nobody has to know that you voted for somebody with an R at the end of his name. So I'm urging a whole bunch of people in California and outside California to go to electelder.com and throw some money in the tip jar, and let's get this guy out of here.
Mr. Elder, you got a mission, and what I heard the first thing out of your mouth there was about education. And when we attack education, then that funnels out to every other problem that we have. And you're getting ears here because Fresno barely beats Detroit at the bottom of the barrel, and we're tied with Cleveland. And all the money that we're putting into this. Now, as governor, would you test those teachers to reading, writing, and arithmetic to see which ones aren't proficient?
Well, I would have somebody who's an expert on all of that, but what I would do is declare emergency power, and in one fell swoop, I'm getting rid of the 15,000 who are incompetent. Right away, I'm told that that will dramatically improve the educational prospects of kids in the inner city. And again, the majority of black and brown parents want school choice, yet they go in there and march and pull that lever for the Democratic Party. Explain that to me. And for the first time, as you guys well know, people are leaving the state of California. The primary reason, the cost of housing. The average price of a home in California is 150% more than the average price of a home in America, and the average home in California costs 50% more than it would be but for rules like CEQA that jack up the price of a house in California. That's why people are leaving. And what they do, Trevor, is they go and they bring their left-wing policies with them because they haven't connected the dots. It's not that they're stupid. It's that they're working and trying to get the DP to buy a house. I can explain why there's a relationship between rising crime and left-wing policies, why there's a relationship between rising homelessness and left-wing policies, why there's a relationship between the declining standards and the rising cost of living and the very people that you've been pulling the lever for the last 20, 30 years. I can explain that in ways that other Republican candidates, in my opinion, cannot. I'm from the hood. I was born in California. I was a product of public schools. I know how bad they become. The parents know how bad they become, and I'm going to be their voice. And for the first time, they're going to divorce themselves from the Democratic Party and vote for this guy with a little R at the end of his name.
But listen to what Newsom now getting the media to actually say. This was a San Diego station. 10 seconds here.
A new study from UC San Diego says it's due to factors such as drops in international immigration and lower birth rates on top of COVID deaths, not a mass exodus.
People aren't leaving over all the crime and the homelessness. No, you heard how they're trying to angle this. Now, I can understand why you said hell no to Dennis Prager when they're spending $60,000 a year on tents and sleeping villages in San Francisco. I mean, we couldn't act this way with our own budget at home.
It's ridiculous. Talk to any U-Haul person and ask them whether or not people are leaving because of COVID. There's a magazine called CEO Magazine. It's been in existence for 17 years. And CEOs are asked which state is the best or the worst in which to do business based upon taxes, based upon spending, based upon the power of the public sector unions, unfunded pension liabilities, and the degree to which the business climate is friendly. And every single year for 17 consecutive years, California is ranked last of all 50 states. What does that tell you?
I'm telling you. Well, you brought up business, and thank you for your time, Mr. Elder. Last one I'm going to ask you here is, the stimulus packages that have now made businesses, small businesses, trying to come out after almost 500 days of lockdown, having to fight the government for employees. I see help wanted everywhere, $15 an hour everywhere. Well, they got that jump up, didn't they?
Well, they sure did. And there was a study by economists at Bank of America. I don't think they were Trumpers. And they said anybody making 32 grand or so is better off staying home than working. And Gavin Newsom, because he's afraid of this recall election, has been pouring money, giving people another year of rent-free, paying more and more people to stay home. And my friends can't even get employees. Two-thirds of employees have come back in general in the country. Only half have come back in California because of these stupid left-wing policies. This guy has got to go, and I'm urging people to go to electelder.com and throw a little something in the tip jar, as I said. Let's get this guy out of here.
All right, Mr. Elder, that's electelder.com, and you are going to do it. You're campaigning, and you'll take it all the way to the court. All right, thank you, sir.
Will do. Thank you, Trev. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Look forward to talking again. Larry Elder right there, and here's why he's doing it.
The more I looked at it, the more I saw how arrogantly this governor has handled the pandemic, imposing the most strict coronavirus lockdowns of any of the 50 states while violating them at that French restaurant with the very people that set down the mandates, while his own kids still enjoyed in-school private education, while his own business, that winery, was exempted from the mandates. Something has to happen.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Thanks to Larry Elder, candidate for governor. You heard it from the source's mouth right there. He said he's going to take it all the way to court, and then if they get all the way to the state Supreme Court, and while that's happening, he's looking at the calendar, man. He's got to start campaigning, and he is. Education, a number one issue. Looking forward to having everybody on this show as you get to make up your mind, your decision. Horrible story. A woman was arrested for the murder of a 73-year-old man in Coors Gold over the weekend. Michael Miller was found shot to death up at Wells and Douglas Road on Sunday morning, and they detained this 32-year-old lady, Trisha Lynn Richardson, as a person of interest in the case. She said she admitted to having a romantic relationship with him and confessed to killing him. A 32-year-old woman, a 73-year-old man. She was arrested, booked in Madera County Jail, first-degree murder, and interfering with an officer. Bail set more than $1 million. That's, we don't know the details of that. But what do you think about this one? Fresno City Council approved installing vehicle license plate readers at Wilbur Park by a 6-0 vote. Councilman Bredefeld was not present. He's out of town. But under the plan, here's what they're going to do. Instead of a live attendant that you would pay at Wilbur Park, and they said at Roding Park, vehicle license plate readers would replace those people. Councilman Arias said eliminating human interaction would eliminate traffic jams at the entrance to parks and allow for more entry points. So I guess eliminating traffic jams would, I guess that happens because of welcome, hey, all right, you kids have fun. You know, the little conversation that would happen between people and a parking attendant, you would pull up and bing. Yeah, just wait till it won't read it right, like my car wash thing that I got, this little thing on my windshield. Now I don't have to deal with that thing anymore. It's just the drive-through kind of gas station, but it's supposed to read the little tag on the windshield. Never does. I got to get out and wipe it off and keep going up and back, and then finally it reads it. So not everything that's a machine is a whole lot quicker. They said it's going to reduce the amount of pollution generated by all these cars idling. If that's the mission, to stop idling cars, I question our traffic light timing, whatever that computer program is. It's as if it's designed to literally stop at every light 90% of the time. And I'm the kind of person that charts that kind of thing. So I wonder how all that works, right? I mean, we think that, well, everybody's timed these things up, right? Right. I wonder how that works, how they do that. It has, obviously a computer system does it, but I Right now, if you want to go into the park, it's $5 car entry, and they'll read who you are. They said they're going to keep all that information private. Of course they will. Now, if you walk in or ride your bike in, you don't have to pay that. So does that make you feel better, or is that easier? I would look at it as if some kind of crime happened in the park, right? I guess I'm looking at it from that angle. Giving up our own privacy for more security would have been Franklin. He said something about that's not good as well. That's no big deal today. I mean, we have, when you take toll roads back on the East Coast and in the Bay Area as well, they have, you know, the rapid where you can go right through and not have to go through a toll booth. So maybe it'll be a lot easier. This was a real shocker these days, right?
The idea that an 8-year-old child or a 10-year-old child decides, you know, I decided I want to be transgender. That's what I think I'd like to be. It'll make my life a lot easier. There should be zero discrimination.
So I guess if that 8-year-old boy said, oh, look at Sports Illustrated, finally, someone like me, the first ever transgender cover model, goes by the name Lena Bloom. Bloom said, it's a huge moment, but it's just like, why is it taking so long? That was a comment from the first ever transgender cover model, because transgender cover model around like 2015, it was on, you know, RuPaul's drag show. That's why this is an onslaught of this. The cover model said, I think more agencies, movies, films, fashion shows need not only hire trans talent, but make sure that people they are hiring, the crew, the casting director, represent this. What do we call it now? Slice of society? I mean, it's so small, the slice of the pie. Well, it is growing now. I have to say, it is growing. As we see, now Lena makes history again as the first transgender cover model in Sports Illustrated swimsuit history, but also the first trans person of color. So they knock out two with one cover model. Well, it's in the Olympics, too. Tokyo Olympic Games, transgender weightlifter from New Zealand. Boy, what a looker. Hubbard, last name, 43, competed as a dude before transitioning in his mind in 2013 at the age of 35. Probably because he couldn't compete with men, man. That's why many of them do this, to go from loser to winner. I mean, it's so, so unfair. So beyond unfair. And if I brought up right now, let's say that I said the election was stolen, all the machines in Fulton County and in Maricopa County and in Pennsylvania, they were hackable, and the Democrats got in there and they switched votes. Boy, if I kept that up, I might have a knock on my door these days from the Capitol Police Office in California, right? I can't say that. You can't say that as a Republican. How dare you? You wouldn't even dare say that, would you? Are there a different set of rules these days?
There are a lot of states that are dealing with antiquated machines, right? Which are vulnerable to being hacked.
I actually held a demonstration for my colleagues here at the Capitol, where we brought in folks who, before our eyes, hacked election machines.
Wow.
Those that are being used in many states.
You know who that is?
Kamala Harris.
How dare her talk about our election system like that, huh?
I continue to think that our voting machines are too vulnerable.
Our researchers have repeatedly demonstrated that ballot recording machines and other voting systems are susceptible to tampering.
Even hackers with limited prior knowledge, tools, and resources are able to breach voting machines in a matter of minutes.
Purge
them! In 2018, electronic voting machines in Georgia and Texas deleted votes for certain candidates or switched votes from one candidate to another.
Purge them! Purge them! We're going to talk about all that election stuff in the 5 o'clock hour. Coming up next, socialism on the march. What did Vladimir Lenin state? He stated the goal of socialism is communism. You know what? We all need to go stand shoulder to shoulder on this. You know that? Maybe they were correct back in the 1950s. Maybe the communists were here. Where's old McCarthy when we need him, right, to call out the Reds amongst us? And we do have Reds amongst us. Oh, the move is on. Socialism on the march. We'll talk about that and more next.